morning. The topic of what I've written down to share with you this morning is being humble. I think we all know that God's word teaches us to be humble. We are to be humble ourselves and put aside our selfish ambitions, be servants of God, and by extension, be servants to each other. We also know that pride is a sin. Sometimes pride can pull us into thinking that we are better than we really are. Pride can also lead us to overcompensate, show how strong we are in order to hide a weakness that we have or a doubt about ourselves. We can do this so others won't see our vulnerabilities for fear of how they or others might try to take advantage of us or embarrass us, cause us shame in front of others. On the other hand, having a low self-esteem can lead us to doubt the gifts that God has blessed each one of us with. In doing so, rather than using those gifts that we have been given to glorify God, we may choose to hold back and do nothing so that we might not be embarrassed by comparison to those who we see as being more gifted than ourselves. Perhaps we continue to feel guilt for those sins in our past that we continue to struggle with. We let those sins back into our lives and let those get a hold of us and give us a feeling of not being worthy to glorify God. We're afraid that we might be seen as hypocritical to others or at least be seen that way, even if it's not true. It might not seem possible to be perfectly confident and stay not being prideful, or to be completely humble and not be held down with guilt or self-doubt. But all that we can do is look to God's word, write us an example, and hopefully gain a better appreciation of why it is important to be humble if we want to glorify God. I've found some scriptures to share with everyone to hopefully help us all do so. I'd like to begin in Proverbs chapter 16, the first nine verses. Preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. The Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Will they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for inequity. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We all have free will that's been given to us by God. Our plans are our own, and you can say that what you intended to do, but the outcome comes from God. We can have a tendency to assume that the way that we do things is right and better or more pure than what others are doing. We can automatically assume we are in the right and others are in the wrong when they disagree with us. But we are not the judge or our own judges even. Ultimately, that is God's role. He judges what we do and also considers why we do it. He knows our motives behind what we do, whether they are good and pure and according to his spirit or out of our own selfish ambition. When we are committed to the Lord, our plans will be established by God, as it says in that verse in the scripture, in Proverbs. Be confirmed by God because they are according to His will and His purpose. When we commit our plans and purpose to God and doing His will, we can trust that He's going to help us to accomplish whatever it is we need to do in our own lives. Everything is made for God's purpose, even those who disobey Him, who do evil, disregarding His word that He's given us. We will not be able to prevent His plans or purpose from being fulfilled, no matter what we do. God will make use of whatever we do, which is good or evil, to accomplish His goals. It is our choice whether we align what we have planned with what God has given us through His will, and to receive, because of that, either His mercy or His wrath. When we act out of a proud heart, God despises what we do. We may be encouraged to act with a proud heart and find plenty of company with many in society. As long as our prideful acts align with their interest, they will support us and seem as our friends. But when our interests are different than theirs, we may be abandoned by them, and when they see that it is not worth it in the long term for them. Those who are proud will be punished, it said in the scriptures, because God finds pride to be an abomination. It is through steadfast love and faithfulness that God will allow us to overcome this in order to please Him. Love and faithfulness that we are to show others, and importantly, the love and faithfulness that was shown to us by Christ, by His example and His sacrifice on our behalf. It is His example that can be our motivation to put aside our own pride and help serve others for God's glory. Seeking approval of those in the world rather than God may seem necessary to get what we think we need in our lives, but if we're putting aside His example for us to get what we want and do what we think will impress others, we will eventually lose on what matters to us most, or should matter to us most. I'd like to continue in Psalms 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like our Lord who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that He may seat him with princes and the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Without Jesus giving up His place in heaven, the power and glory which He had being one with God, to also to leave that to be born of this world and to be born as a human being like each one of us. Without that, we would all be without hope. His glory is above everything on earth or in heaven, yet He humbled Himself to live as a human, to live a life, to be despised, to be shamed and persecuted, ultimately on the cross. He didn't come down from heaven to our level just to show us how much better he is than us, or to knock us off of a prideful pedestal we may have put ourselves, and thereby forcing us to be humble. He did not want us to give up our pridefulness just to bury us in guilt for our sins. He humbled himself, as it says in Psalms, left us out of the dust and ash heap to give us a seat at the table. In the same way, when we humble ourselves, it should lift up God. It should glorify him and help lift each of us up to share in his love and his blessings. We don't humble ourselves just to be self-deprecating and say that I'm a sinner like everyone else. We don't just share the misery that we all can never be perfect and also be satisfied that we can just continue to struggle with our sins and that God's mercy will just cover it no matter what we do. Regardless, looking to be saved regardless of whatever effort or change of attitude that we is needed on our own behalf. I think it's a good example of humbling. I think a good example of humbling ourselves would be in those instances where we have something in our life that is pleasing to God, that we have a strong footing of being a good Christian example in some aspect. We don't just look for that to be an example to others that they can look to and want to be like us. We should come down. We should kneel down as Jesus did and reach down and actively help others that need a helping hand to improve their lives. We need to give each other support and understanding and hold each other accountable to improve our lives as a service to God. If we were to compare our lives to just treading water, we may be able to keep our heads above water, yet feel that sin is kind of coming into our lives and beginning to make us struggle to stay afloat. Others may not even be able to see that or be aware because of distractions in their own lives that we may need help. That is when we need to humble ourselves, not be too proud to reach out for help from those that that may have a better handle on something in a way of living a Christian life that we haven't quite mastered yet. We need to lend a hand to each one to help support us so we all can share in God's grace. When we take the time to specifically humble ourselves, we should ask, why are we doing this? Are we doing it so that we might impress others of how good of a Christian that we think we're being, or doing so, are we doing it out of a genuine love and a desire to help each other? Are we doing it because we lack confidence in our God, in our God-given talents, or are we doing it trying to encourage someone else to build up their confidence so that they are better able to serve God? How effective and meaningful our service to each other and to God depends not just on what we do, but why we are doing it and with what attitude we have while we are doing it. I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll read verses 6 through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Being satisfied with our physical or economic status in life is another way that we have the opportunity to have a humble heart that God would have us. It's not impossible for someone rich to be humble, but it's clear that it can be a hindrance to us and to our faith if we let it. Giving God glory for how blessed we may be is a good start, but just saying so is not enough. We should not be ashamed when we are not as obviously blessed as others, but still give God heartfelt thanks for providing us all that we really need. You can also think of the parable of the Pharisee who thanked God that they were not like the sinners around them. Whether we are thanking God for not making us like some pitiful poor man on the street, or even for not making us like an obnoxious rich man flaunting what he has, we are not showing humbleness and contentment. We should give God genuine thanks for whatever we are blessed with and use those blessings for glorifying Him. Good work ethic will help us maximize the talents that God has given us. For everyone, the same amount of effort put in will lead to different levels of material blessings. Different talents we are blessed with have different value to society and will result for different levels of payback that we may get. What is important to God is that no matter what circumstance we are either born into or find ourselves in throughout our life, that we give God glory for the blessings that we do have. And we use those blessings for His benefit, to benefit His will, and to glorify Him. We should continue to examine ourselves so that we can try to be sure that we are working our best to be found acceptable to God rather than men. Next, I'd like to go to Psalms 51. Read through 12. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned, and done this evil in your sight. You may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Psalm focuses on thoughts that are associated with coming to a realization of sin that we have allowed in our lives. It's an example of how we should act when we own up to our own sins, to to our own loss of focus on God and follow after vain distractions in the world. We should confess our sins to God and realize the fact that we know we are guilty and not deserving of forgiveness. Nevertheless, we should humble ourselves to believe that God has that power to overall and importantly to us, the desire and the power to forgive our sins against Him. We need to have faith that He will be true to His word and forgive us. We need not only His forgiveness for our specific sins against Him that we repent from, we need to allow Him to let His Spirit lead us so that we are walking in the path that seeks after Him. God is our only hope to be forgiven, and when we do wrong, He is our only hope to find the joy that we can have knowing that His salvation can be sure in our lives. We can know that we are seeking to serve Him with His steadfast help from the Holy Spirit. Not only can He forgive us, but by putting our trust in Him, He will restore us to His way so that we will not need to hold on to the guilt that first caused us to seek His forgiveness. I'd like to go to Romans chapter 12, first five verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say that the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. When we humble ourselves to God, it's not just something we do from time to time when we feel guilty enough to seek His forgiveness. It should be a way of life for us. Our life, our entire life, is to be a sacrifice to God, not because it is worthless and burdened with guilt, but because it has been found precious enough for Him to offer His Son to pay the price for our sins. We should devote all of our lives to God because we know that our time on earth is all that we have that is of value to Him. We should not give Him the minimum amount of our life that we can afford to give up and still fit in with our friends or family or neighbors. We need to give Him all that we have because He deserves more than we are able to give Him. If we hold back from giving our all, no matter how insignificant we see it, we are standing in the way of His will. Our blessings and talents may seem small, especially when we try to compare ourselves to others. We need to offer whatever God has blessed us with to be used for His service. Each of us will not serve God in the same way, but we all should have a strong desire to do what we are able to serve Him. When we serve Him together as one body, as His church, our efforts are multiplied by those of the other members so that we might offer God the glory that He wants and deserves. And then finally, I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Read Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. No matter how good of a bad person that we think we may have been in our past, we are not to dwell on the past. We should not be held back thinking how we have failed in the past so that it is not worth trying to be better. We also should not look back and say, we have done plenty for God and now it's time for someone else to take a turn and carry the burden. Everyone needs to offer what they can and sometimes what they are not certain that we can. Relying on God's promise that he will provide what we need. We need to continue to strive to serve God to our fullest in whatever circumstances we find ourselves today. God knows our heart. He knows whether we are what we are giving him, whether it's our best or just what we can do without. We will no doubt have ups and downs in life, and at least, as appears from the outside, seem to be serving God more effectively sometimes rather than others. What's important is that we know that he loves us, that we owe him all that we have. Although he doesn't expect us to be perfect, he does want us to give him all that we are able. This is how we can press forward together, sharing the goal to serve God well, to realize the eternal blessings that we have through him. I'll offer the invitation now to anyone who needs it to come forward to be baptized or bring anything before the congregation that you may need to help with or confess. Please do so now as we stand and sing.